You know, we started Ruth, my goodness, seems like it was a very long time ago, was scheduled to do this particular message on Palm Sunday evening, and enjoyed Robin's presentation very much, but by the time she was done, I didn't feel like we could do it, so put it off, and then we had Easter, and it just seems like it's been a long time, but we're going to be looking tonight at Ruth chapter 1. And it says 8 through 18 because that's what I told Carolyn. But the more I've studied this and gotten ready, I wanted to leave 16 or 17 and 18 for the next time. So it's going to be Ruth chapter 8, 1, verses 8 through 16. Some of you know this about me. My wife really knows it about me, but I'm a routine kind of guy. I do things pretty much the same way, and I like for things to be set out in the same order. I like for the clothing to be lined up in the right order, you know, all that kind of stuff. But every day of my life, there are certain things that I do the same. I get up, I get dressed, I start my coffee, I see if the paper is there yet. And of late, it hasn't been there. And it just really messes up my routine because I want to get that paper read at a certain time and in a certain order. But, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes. I drink my big bottle of water every morning that I always drink. I read my devotions, I do my daily Bible reading, I read the paper if it's there, I turn on the news, check my email, check Facebook. Those things take place almost every single morning. And so when I tell people that I'm an early riser, because I am, but I'm not ready for prime time by 7 o'clock in the morning most times for you all to see me because I'm still in the midst of this routine. But after that, there are some choices and some variances. Like, for example, what do I want for breakfast? Now, if I had what I wanted for breakfast every morning, it would be pancakes every morning. But then I would have to make them, and I don't want to have to do that every morning, so it's just a little different. But from that point forward, I do make choices and things that are different, not necessarily the routine. I come to the office, and the routine kind of kicks in again, you know. I can tell you pretty much what I'm going to be doing at any point in time during almost every day. Tomorrow, Evan and I are going to meet in there, and we're going to talk for a while. And that's just kind of the way it goes. Well, I tell you all that because tonight we're going to see three women that we were introduced to a couple weeks ago, and all of them have choices to make that are outside the routine, outside the norm. Some choices that we make, like what to have for breakfast, is probably not going to have any lasting consequence. But some of the choices that we make and that we'll see being made tonight will have eternal consequences. In fact, some of the choices that these women make tonight in the passage have affected us because it led to our Savior being born. And we'll see more about that as time goes by. I want to make it clear, the Savior would have been born, whether these ladies made the right choices or not, but this was the plan. This was the plan all along. When we were last in the book of Ruth, each of these three women had been widowed. Naomi, the mother-in-law, had determined to go back to her homeland, which is Bethlehem, because the famine there was over. But her daughters-in-law were natives of Moab. So for them, going to Bethlehem would have been outside the comfort zone, outside the routine. But anyway, as we left them, they were headed in the direction of Bethlehem. We're going to look tonight at Ruth chapter 1, starting in verse 8 and ending for tonight in verse 15. Okay? So I want to make this clear. Anytime that you're asked to stand, whether it be for a song, whether it be for a prayer, whether it be for the reading of the word, it truly is what I always say, if you're able, if you feel like standing. I know sometimes I don't feel like standing, and that's okay. So if you are able and willing, please stand as we read from God's word. Ruth chapter 1, starting in verse 8, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this passage, this incredibly beautiful book of Ruth and the stories that we find within it of loyalty and of devotion and of redemption. And Lord, I just thank you that we see in this passage, Lord, the promise that you give us of redemption. And I do pray, Lord, that you help us to find from it tonight what you'd have us to find, and help us, Lord, to live what you'd have us to live as a result of what we see in this passage tonight. And I just pray these things now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Now, although this takes place many generations before Christ was born and before the New Testament was written, verse 8 here, which again says, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. That calls to mind a New Testament passage, Philippians 2:3, which says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Now, in fact, that's kind of going to be the theme of this passage here tonight. We see it in verse 8. It's the classic mother characteristic. You know, mother is the one who always takes the back of the chicken. Nobody else wants that, and so she takes it. And mother is the one who always serves last. My kids always talk about how Ramona's always the last one to sit down, and then she gets up 20 times during that time to take care of everybody else. And that's a motherly characteristic. It's something that moms just generally do. Because mothers esteem others better than themselves, or at least more needy than themselves. Well, what's happening here is they're preparing to go on a lengthy journey, and they're going to be leaving Moab and going to Bethlehem. And I Googled the distance between the two, and it came up something like 1,700 miles. And I'm like, Israel isn't even that big. And it was giving me the distance between Moab, Utah, and Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. That's not where they were. So I had to kind of refine my search a little bit. And the distance was probably somewhere around 40 miles, 30 to 50 miles, somewhere in that vicinity. And Naomi was so concerned about her daughters-in-law that she told them to go back to safety. Go back to your mother's house. Go back to the comfort of your origins. But what's not stated here is what would have happened if they would have done that. Because had they gone back to their homeland, then Naomi would have had to have made this 40-mile journey, a single woman, alone. And that was not a safe thing to do. That wasn't safe, really, for anybody to do. We see this in the Bible many different times. But it would have been a dangerous journey for her to go that way by herself. And so she esteemed them better than herself, because she's saying, you go take care of yourselves, I'll manage. Here's my prayer for each of us. May God truly deal with us kindly as we have dealt with others. That's what she says here. May the Lord deal kindly with you in the same way that we have dealt with others. Now, I won't ask you to raise hands or make nods of assent or anything like that, but think about if everybody treated you the exact same way that you've treated others. Well, verse 9. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices, and they wept. Now wait a minute here. Each in the house of her husband. Their husbands are dead. Their husband's father is dead. There is no house of their husband. And what she's saying here is, go back home and find a husband. Go back home and find somebody to take care of you. Here's where the introduction that I gave you about making choices comes in. There's a purpose behind that. The two ladies, Orpah and Ruth, can choose to go back to their homes, or they can choose to go with Naomi. And either one of those choices is not going to be easy. They've been gone from their homes for at least 10 years, because they were married for 10 years. If they go with Naomi, they're going to a foreign land. And foreigners are not always accepted well, and Moabites particularly were not always accepted well. So they can choose to go with Naomi, but she's asked them, don't do that. Don't come with me. But they've been together for 10 years at least. And you don't spend 10 years with somebody and just walk away. Or at least you shouldn't be able to. This is where it's dangerous for me to write a message based on what I preached that morning, because I said in this morning's message we talked about betrayal, and we did that 2 or 3 weeks ago. But that would be betrayal to just leave somebody like that. So verse 10, and they said to her, surely we, both of them, we will return with you to your people. And so in this verse, they've made a choice. They would stick with their mother-in-law. They would exchange the place that they'd always known and where they had lived with their husbands for these past 10 years. Trying to decide where to go, what to do, can be difficult. Over 2/3 of my life, I was either in school or teaching school, and I can tell you that every year, almost without exception, and I know I've told you this before, but every year when contract time came along, there was a quandary in our household. Should I apply to go somewhere else? If I apply and they interview me, should I go to the interview? If I go to the interview and they offer the job, should I take it? And it was just a constant thing for us, never knowing for sure. And you can tell, I stayed in Gilman for 30 years, so you know what I did. I mean, I worked in other places. But anyway, the question was always, do I stay with what is familiar? Or do I go into a foreign land, a foreign school, and seek better opportunities? And every year we went through that. For me, the difficulty was always leaving those with whom I developed attachments. You know, the kids that I worked with, the teachers that I taught with, and I must be honest with you, sometimes the kids that I worked with and the teachers that I worked with were the reason why I wanted to leave. That just happens sometimes. But anyway, it was just a constant quandary in our household. Verse 11, Naomi says, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? And here's where we need to have a little bit of an understanding of the culture and the scriptures, the culture of the time and the scriptures of all time. Deuteronomy 25:5. I want to read the whole thing to you. It says, if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as a wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. It was biblical law, in other words, that if a woman's husband died and left her childless, that man's brother was to take over. He was to perform the duties of a husband. He was to take on his sister-in-law, the widow, as his wife. Now, there may have been an out here in this particular thing, because what it said was, if the husband's brother, well, the husband's brother was dead too. Both of them were gone. So there are other scriptures that speak to the issue, and they take it back, it's, you know, to many generations. If there is no brother, then you go back to the father and his brothers, the uncles, the cousins. There's just all kinds of different things. But the idea is that somebody within the family had to take that woman on as his wife. And he had to have a son, or try to have a son with her, that would be known as the son of the dead man. That's just the way that it was. So, verse 12, she says again, turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear a son, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And this is really the first place where we see a complaint. And she had a legitimate complaint. You know, her husband was dead. Her sons were dead. She had no means of support. But she said, I'm sorry, girls, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me, and it's therefore impacted you. So it really wasn't a complaint so much as she was just apologizing that her plight affected them. She's also saying that if the custom is that you got to marry the husband's brother, there is no brother. If I should have a husband tonight and have a brother in 9 months, are you going to wait till he's of age? Because by that time, of course, they would be getting up in years. So even if she did have a husband and even if she did have sons, it would be years before Orpah and Ruth could have them as husbands. So Naomi says, no, don't do that. Turn back, return to your home, and maybe there you'll find a husband. Finding a husband, as I've alluded to, was of great importance to women, especially widows, because they had no other way to make a living. None whatsoever. Some might read this today and make it sound like you've got to go out and find a husband if you're widowed, or a wife if you're a widower. I know that's not true in every case, so don't take it as an instruction that you got to be married necessarily. But it's also important that we don't see every trial that we go through as coming from the hand of the Lord. Some things just happen. I don't think anything happens outside of God's knowledge, obviously. But one of the things that I've heard before from people when there is an untimely death, people will say, why would God take my loved one away? And I've heard that said, quite frankly, at funerals for people who were killed in a drunk driving accident and they were the drunk driver. And you're blaming God? You know, or I've heard it said, even at the funerals for people who are in their 90s, why would God take my loved one away? Well, it's going to happen. Death is the end of all men. And sometimes it comes early, sometimes it comes later, sometimes it comes unexpectedly. And one thing I hope we can get from this, God is not punishing us when someone dies. Nobody dies outside of God's knowledge or he knew it was going to happen. Verse 14, then they lifted up their voices and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Does this mean that Orpah didn't love Naomi as much as Ruth did because she didn't stay there? Because she went back home? I don't think so, but it's like I always say, what I think doesn't matter. But Orpah and Ruth handled it differently. Many of us have gone through the loss of a parent, and I know that while Dad was still living, the bulk of the responsibility for his care fell on our family because we were 12 miles away. And I had one sister who was about an hour and a half, 2 hours away, and one sister who was about 12 hours away. And I'm not begrudging them for not doing more. They did what they could. But because we did more for Dad, does that mean that we love Dad more? It does not. I don't want to be us to be critical of Orpah because she didn't stay, or to give Ruth too much credit because she did. The simple fact is this, And this is going to sound like everything's preordained and we don't have a choice, but that's not what I'm trying to say. God knew from the beginning what the genealogy of Jesus Christ was going to be. And he knew that Ruth and Boaz were going to be a part of that genealogy. He knew that. And it was important for her to go to Bethlehem to meet Boaz, just like it was important for me to go to Ridgeway in 1976, and eventually to meet Ramona. That God knew that was going to happen. And he knew this was going to happen. And God does sometimes orchestrate events to facilitate his plan. I say sometimes. I just, again, believe he knows all things. So does that mean that we don't have a choice? We do. Ruth still could have said, I'm not going to Bethlehem. I don't know that place, never been there, don't want to go there. I'm going back home. But she didn't. And God knew that she wouldn't make that decision. We'll never know for certain what happened to Orpah when she went back. But I do believe this. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But we do know this. She made a choice to stay in a pagan land. And her reasoning is found in the next verse, verse 15. And she said, look, this is Naomi speaking. Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Orpah chose to go back to her people, and in the process of doing that, she also chose to go back to her gods. I think the assumption here, and we can't assume things, I know, but the assumption would be that if Ruth had gone back to her homeland, she would have gone back to her gods. She would have ended up living a pagan life, living apart from God, living apart from God's plan for her life. But she didn't. Orpah chose to go back to her people and her gods, and she chose by doing that to go back to destruction, which is kind of scary to think about. You know, the choices that we make have eternal impacts. Not what you have for breakfast, not what you're going to put on, but the choices that we make that relate to God have eternal consequences. And I want to say this, not just for us. Sometimes our choices impact other people who come behind us. Ruth, as we will see in the next time that we get together with this, she chose the path that led to redemption. And we're going to see more about that as we introduce Boaz and the kinsman redeemer and the different things like that. But the path that she chose led to redemption, both earthly redemption and heavenly redemption. And that's the choice that each one of us are given in reality. We can choose the path that leads to God or the path that leads away from God. I really struggled with not including these next verses because I think they are among the most beautiful verses in all of Scripture. But I believe that they tie in better with what comes after this. So we're going to stop there for tonight. But again, in the prayers that have been lifted up before we even started this, one of the things that was said was that if somebody, this was in the deacons meeting, I guess, they talked about if there's somebody here who needs salvation, well, once again, you've got a choice. You can choose the path to go back to your homeland, go back to your foreign gods, your pagan gods, I should say, or you can choose the path that leads to redemption. And my prayer for each one of you here tonight is that you've already done that and that you're doing everything within your power to see that other people also follow that same path. But if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you have a choice tonight to choose the path to destruction or the path to redemption. I pray that we choose the right path. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you again for this beautiful passage and this beautiful illustration about choices, Lord. I don't think necessarily that Ruth loved Naomi better than Orpah did, but I do know this. Her choice led to redemption in so many different ways for her. God, I pray for our choices in everything that we do to lead to redemption for ourselves, but also, Lord, to lead others to redemption. And never, Lord, to lead us back to the pagan path that we've been on. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for this incredible book. And I just pray that you help us to rightly divide this word as we go through it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.